You're listening to the Lost Chill podcast with Katie and Kimmy. For years now, I have had the pleasure of listening to the wit, banter, and pure joy from these two, and now I invite you to share in the delight of listening to them discuss the books they're currently reading. Whether you are a fellow dedicated bibliophile or simply wish you had more time to read, you will love hearing the insight and discussions around the stories they dive into. So grab a cup of coffee or pour a glass of wine and let's jump on in. Katie and Kimmy, take it away.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Lost Chill podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are so excited today because we have a special guest. We have Annabelle Monahan with us today. She is a author of one of my newest favorite books, Nora Goes Off Script. So we're going to chat with her today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for reading.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Love it.
It's so much
fun. I read Nora Goes Off Script like forever ago, and I loved it so much. And I just read Same Time Next Summer.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, I did. So good.
Thank you.
So good. And you have another book coming out.
I do. June 4th.
Oh, my gosh. That's how do you feel? Like, does it feel so close or so far or both?
You know, it felt really far away. And then I just looked at the calendar and I thought, no, this isn't far away at all. And and that last month before publication goes so fast. And then I will just sort of step out of my life for a little while. I'll go on tour and I'll be, I mean, it's so fun. It's all so fun, but it's, you honestly leave your life and then come back into your life once the book's out.
Are you just exhausted after it?
No. So you would think I would be, because like I'm exhausted when I come back from the grocery store, but there's something about book events where you walk in and everybody there is so excited to be there that you just pick up all this really good energy. I always leave there feeling almost more rested than when I arrived. It's weird. It's like nobody sucks the life out of you at a book event.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
Grocery store, actually.
I mean, that would be a lot of fun. That'd be way better than going to the grocery store. So I'd be all about that too.
Yeah, it's just really nice. And then you know, you wrote a thing and people want to hear about it. I mean, there's nothing better than that.
That's awesome. So we recently did an episode on our podcast about authors who are able to shift genres. Mm-hmm. And since you have both adult romance and then young adult books, we were curious what book or what genre is the closest to your heart and which one was more fun to write?
That's a great question. I would say adult romance. I don't know if it's romance. My books never really fit into the romance category, but they're love stories for adults. So I think that it's closer to my heart because it's closer to where I am right now. So when I started writing, my first books were young adults. And I think that that was for me like a level of bravery where I was willing to reveal to the general world what I thought about life when I was 17. You know, there's distance in writing young adults. It's like it felt kind of distant from who I am. And now I'm writing about grown-up people with grown-up problems and grown-up relationships. And that feels a lot more vulnerable because, you know, you read those books, you know a lot about me, whether you want to or not. And I don't think I was ready to do that until later. So this I just feel a little more connected to.
Is there a specific character that you're more connected to than others?
That's a real, I probably Allie in Summer Romance, the new book. My husband read it and he said, is this an autobiography? she's not like me in any way, but her house is a mess in the same way that my house is a mess. And there's a lot about her worldview on being a daughter and being a mother that is my worldview. So yeah, she's probably the closest to home.
Awesome.
That's so exciting. I can't wait for everyone to meet her and for her to be free in the world. I'm so excited for you.
like to make somebody up and then just let them loose in the world, and people are either going to like them or not like them. It's just such a weird thing.
Yeah. So what's your writing process like? Like, is it specific? Like, do these characters like kind of come to you before you start putting them to paper, or?
No, they actually, I wish. And I know that a lot of writers do have that experience, and God bless them. I have an idea for usually for a story, and I start writing it, and then I write a lot. Like I'll write 100 pages, and then I'll think, oh, I know who she is. And then I go back to the beginning and sort of start over again. It's a terrible way to write a book. It's like my poor editor. I don't, she probably tears her hair out. But I don't, I can't really conceive of a person until I've walked through their life for a while. And then once I've walked through their life for a while, and then I understand who they are, then the rest of the story makes sense to me. So it's a little bit backwards the way I do it.
It obviously works for you. So, I mean, that it doesn't have to fit into a mold. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I hope it keeps working. You know, I'm working on a book right now, and I'm waiting for that to kick in. You know, you're well, here we go. It's starting to work now. So yeah, hopefully it keeps working.
It's almost like you have to meet the characters first and just like almost go out to dinner with them and figure out who they are before you can write what they're doing and where they're going.
No, I think that's right. And if I didn't do it, if I tried to do it the other way, just the way sort of the way my brain works, I would give you a character that you've already seen before. So if I came up with her in advance, she would be this person, and you'd be like, oh, that's just like this character we've seen 100 times. So for me to get to know them, it takes a little bit of time for them to become real people who I haven't met before.
Wow, that's great. I've noticed that you typically post on social media, not typically, I should say, but often post on social media about other authors' work, specifically female authors, which is awesome. Is there a certain author friend or someone in the literary world that keeps you going or keeps inspiring you?
You know, it's such an amazing community, honestly. It's like I've never been in an industry like this before where everybody, you know, if you have a book coming out, everybody rallies around your book that's coming out, and we all rally around each other. It's amazing. My best book friend is Karen Duquesse. She wrote The Last Book Party, which you have to read. And next summer, she has a book coming out called The Welcome to Murder Week. And it's so good, I can't even say. But she feels very much like a colleague to me. Like I call her with my business problems. And, you know, most of my business problems are my book's not working. I don't know what to do. All those kind of stuck things. And we kind of keep each other going. But there is a much bigger community that I'm part of where everybody is just trying to help each other out. It's amazing. And I think it's because people buy more than one book. You know,
Yeah.
it's not like buying a car where you're just going to buy this car and you're not going to buy another car. If you buy Emily Henry's book, you're probably going to buy my book eventually because she's going to run out of books.
Yeah, that's a
That's
great
so
point.
funny.
Is it so it doesn't ever get like cutthroat competitive between authors?
It has not for me. I mean,
That's great.
did you read that crazy story though?
Which one?
Here's me being super vague because I don't remember the specifics or the name. But there was a woman, she had a book coming out. And so she started review bombing all the other authors who had books coming out the same day. And it was a big scandal and a thing. I have to say, I think that is the exception and not the rule. I just don't. I mean, people read so many books. It's not like you're gonna, I want you to read my book and not my friend's books.
Yeah, that's so great to hear that it's such a encompassing community and it nobody it's not that is the abnormal part of those review bombings because I did hear about that and it was pretty disheartening to hear.
Yeah. And I actually, when I was reading that, I thought it's great that this is news because that's how seldom this happens. And that's just been my experience. I may just be lucky with the people that I've met, but I think everybody's been great.
Yeah, I love it. I love hearing that as well. Just the whole book community in general, from readers to authors, I feel like there's just such a strong bond all around. And I think it's all because we just love the same thing. We just love good stories.
Yeah. And it's a vulnerable job.
Yeah.
So you're not going to do this job if you're not really ready to just like slice your heart open and show it to everybody. So that might be part of it.
Oh, I love that. Love it. Speaking of, you just reminded me while we're on the topic of social media and other things, my favorite part of your website is definitely the things you don't know about me. And I think it was like the 13th one when you were like, it's always still surprising to me that hearts can still break when you're an adult.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yes, it really is though.
It doesn't that surprise you? Like, didn't you think that, you know, by the time you got to, you know, be a tax paying person, you would have full mastery and control over all the things happening in your life. And that turns out to not be true.
No.
And your heart breaks in different, bigger ways. Hopefully we have better coping skills, but
right.
It's still happening all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy. And I love that you're willing to like put those kind of things into your books and show us your heart in that way and be vulnerable. And even with that fact that hearts still break and we're learning from it. And I think that's also what people really glean from books is how to process things and do things and learn.
Yeah, no, books probably aren't as good as therapy, but I do think that you develop a little bit of empathy for other people and for yourselves when you read a story and you think, God, this woman is doing everything wrong. Oh, I also do that. You know, and in some way you can, you know, this summer romance is a lot about taking tiny, tiny steps to get yourself unstuck. And I've experienced this a lot in my life. And I always hope that somebody's going to read it and think, you know what, maybe I should put on a pair of hard pants and leave the house or do something that is going to, you know, get me unstuck from where I am.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. Do you have a character then like saying that, like, that's what you hope? Do you hope, like, with all the characters you send out into the world, like, oh, maybe someone will pick up this, or is this kind of new to summer romance?
No, with all of them. You know, and I never sit down to write a book thinking, I would like to teach people ways, here's how to be in the world. But, you know, in a story, just by necessity, your heroine has to learn something by the end.
Right.
And my heroines generally connect back with themselves. They find their voices, they amplify their own voices. And, you know, I think isn't that the whole point of being a woman on this earth in this particular moment, is just to say what we mean, and say it in a way that people can hear it. So.
Yeah. I really loved that. I took a lot from Same Time Next Summer, and just how she would, you know, was just so against going back to where she grew up and spent time at the beach and all of that. And just how she was kind of releasing all the protective layers she had put around herself, like in the city and with her fiance and stuff. And I just loved that.
There's an old, you guys are too young for this, but there's an old expression called don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. You ever heard this expression?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm here to be the old person. But I kind of thought about that when I was writing that book. I was thinking about how, you know, you get your heart broken and you're not going to do it again. And you're going to turn your back on the thing that broke your heart. Of course, like that's human survival. But so often, if that thing is your family, you walk away from that thing and you lose a little bit of yourself. You know, you, in the process of protecting yourself, you lost your essence, your more vulnerable pieces. That was kind of the journey that Sam ended up going on.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Loved it. Also, going back to the things you don't know list,
The crazy list.
what about the six secret Facebook groups?
That started out as a thing. Do you remember when it was the binders of women and the writers? And then I was that, so that was like a secret group, but there were about 8 million people in it. And then there were subgroups of that. And then there were all these different, and then I stopped going on Facebook altogether. So I don't know what secrets they're telling. I go to Facebook like once a week. I just find it visually so confusing.
Yeah.
You guys, are you on Facebook?
Yeah, not.
I feel like the only thing Facebook does well that like other social media does not is the groups. And so I have like that's all I go there for is for the groups, 'cause like a lot of times they're super specific and so like give you like creativity ideas and all sorts of things like just super hyper focused on that one subject. And
Yeah, I
so it's
like
not
that.
like loaded. Yeah.
I like that. But I just find sometimes I honestly go on Facebook and I feel like I've gotten lost. And they've sent me to like a Meta office to respond to. I'm like, where am I? What I just it feels really overwhelming.
Yeah, all social media feels that way to me sometimes.
No, Instagram feels very simple to me.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
good.
pictures.
Threads feel simple too.
What does threads?
Threads, yeah.
I haven't really used that much.
It's kind of negative. My algorithm is like the complaining channel, which is so interesting. My Instagram, all the people I follow, it's the bragging channel. Like, look at this great vacation. But on Threads, it seems like people want to take their, complaints about their boss. I don't know.
Oh,
Yeah, check it
interesting.
out.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had one piece of advice that you can give to any aspiring writer that might be listening to this, what is it?
I have two. I'll just give you the better one. If you're trying to write a book that is going to be a big hit, just rethink it. And what I mean by that is if you want to be the next Emily Henry, or you want to be the next, if you think vampires are the thing that's selling right now, don't write that book. Because by the time you write that book, that thing is going to be over. Emily Henry's never going to be over it. Forget that. Whatever the campus book, the this, the that, don't try to write the book that you think is going to sell. You have to write the book that you connect to emotionally and that's the right book for you to write. So it's the book that's going to capitalize on your wisdom and your experience. It's the story that you'd like to write and that you'd like to tell. And that's what's just going to give it that little bit of energy that's going to make it move. But I wouldn't write a book because you're chasing a trend.
That's great advice.
That's real.
Is
I love your other advice, not for writers. I'm back to your list. I love your list. I love these kind of lists with fun facts.
You're the
But
only person who's ever been to that page of my website. It's
it
like
was
one
great.
that's
It was
because
great.
you're married Canadian.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know why anybody marries anyone who's not Canadian. My husband's Canadian.
That's so funny.
There's something about a Canadian. They're just a little cooler than we are.
I could believe that.
That's
We know
true.
some Canadians that are great. We'll pretend I have it. My mother-in-law is like her, she's French Canadian, but they, I mean, few generations back, but we'll pretend.
I know it's close enough. You're fine.
Yeah, it's
By proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out I have this weird thing. Because you put on there that you're left-handed. I have this weird thing about noticing what people's dominant hands are. And I notice it in TV, movie, everything. And I know everybody in my life what their dominant hand is. It's very strange. I don't know why I do it. There's probably some underlying psychological issue. But I have this theory that left-handed people are so much more creative because a lot of authors are left-handed, a lot of actors are left-handed, and I was like, oh, that makes total sense that you're a lefty because they're just more creative people. I don't know why.
Are you left-handed?
No.
Oh, it's so interesting. Okay,
No.
here's an alternate theory that I just came up with
Okay.
right now. Left-handed people in my generation, we were kept in for recess because our handwriting was so bad, and we would have to sit and practice our handwriting rather than go out for recess. So maybe that tortured experience is probably why I'm not athletic. And why now I just spend all my time writing.
Oh, so did you go to Catholic school?
Oh yeah,
Or
it was nuns.
because you said the nuns never bothered me about it, or
Well, no, they really didn't. They never tried to switch my hand, but
okay.
they were it, me and this other kid, Jimmy Updike, had to sit inside for recess every day because our handwriting was so bad. He
Is
probably
he?
became a doctor.
Well, that's why I was like, what's he up to now? Is he like in theater or something? Do we know what Jimmy's up
I
to?
gotta find out. I'll
Yeah,
Google
please
him.
do.
Find out.
Please follow up with me because I'm very interested now.
Right?
Could we
Maybe,
do another episode
but
about Jimmy Updike and what's happened?
absolutely. Can we find him and invite him and see how his life turned out?
We'll get a handwriting sample.
Yes. To verify it's him, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh
Do
my
you ever
God.
write anything anymore?
Do I ever what?
Handwrite anything?
No, you know, it's funny. It's really a muscle that I'm losing.
Yeah.
Like if I go to write someone a note or a card, I notice that my hand, like I'm just not good at writing anymore because I
My
think it's
hand
actually a
are.
muscle.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree.
Well, I mean, that used to happen to me. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm weird. When I would come back from summer vacation and I would start writing in school, and I'm like, oh man, this kind of hurts. Like, you haven't used it in a while.
Okay, I think that's proof that this is a muscle.
Yeah.
These are our fine motor skills. And
I'm
just.
theory. So yes, with the hand, that's a muscle. I have that same theory about high heels because, like, if you try to wear high heels for like a full day when you never wear high heels, it's gonna hurt. I feel like you have to build up those muscles and like do 20 minutes and all these things. I don't have that muscle anymore, and I think it's just because I'm so out of practice.
No, and you know, I wear Birkenstocks all the
Me
time.
too.
Terrible.
All the time.
So, like, I can't. I went to a party last weekend in grown-up shoes. And after about 45 minutes, I was talking to somebody. I said, oh, let's sit for a while, shall we? And I had to sit down because I couldn't stand up in those shoes anymore.
Yeah,
Oh,
I gave up.
they should make fancy Birkenstocks for formal.
There's like some glittery ones.
Yeah, to match your glasses.
Yeah, these.
Oh my gosh, I didn't.
I
That's
change them all the
awesome.
time.
I love it.
I change them all. This is my one way to really express myself because I have to wear a uniform for work, and this is my one way that I can do that.
I love it.
Yeah, thanks. So,
So
Are we
other
off?
things, are
Doesn't
you gonna
matter.
wear heels on your tour?
Yeah, so I wear the same pair of I pack, honestly, I pack running shoes and one pair of wedges, and I wear them with everything for 10 days straight.
Nice.
Yes, there's no room for like a wardrobe of shoes on a book tour.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
fine.
So are you doing anything like super big and special for like on June 4th for the release day?
I am. I'm doing a big party the night before in my town. Open to the public if you guys want to come to
Ooh.
my New York. It's on June 3rd. And then I am doing my launch at my favorite bookstore that's actually in Old Greenwich, Connecticut. It's called Athena Books. And they have a bookstore that looks like if you had the most beautiful library in your home with couches in the middle. It's the most gorgeous store. Anyway, so there we're doing an event there. And then I leave the next morning to go all the places. Chicago, Los Angeles, Dallas,
Denver's
Charleston.
not on there. I looked.
No. Yeah, I don't know. There was just a festival in Denver
There
or something,
was.
isn't
Oh,
there?
there was drama with that too.
Yeah.
Well, you should go to Threads for that. They've got a lot to
Okay.
say on Threads.
Okay, now I'm doing that today. I need to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be hard for you to find. But no, I would love to come to Colorado. I would really love that.
The Tattered Cover is our big independent bookstore, if you've ever heard of it, and they do a lot of author events. We saw Victoria Schwab. We met, or sorry, V.E. Schwab. We met her there a couple years ago from
Oh, cool.
Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Wow. Okay. I'll ask the powers that be.
Yeah, please do, because we'll be there with bells on.
Oh, that would be so fun.
What is that process like for like a book tour? Like, do you basically just get told where to go, or do you like obviously some of the bigger cities are more obvious, but do you pick bookstores that you love or places you love or places you want to go?
It mostly comes from my publisher.
Okay.
They start with where, I mean, frankly, where do you have people? That was the first thing. My first book tour, it was, I'm from Los Angeles, so that's where my friends and family are. So they immediately thought, yes, we'll book you in Los Angeles. And then they send you to other places where they think there will be a readership. Because this is my third book, there are places where I've been, that I just like Charleston. I could go to Charleston every weekend for the rest of my life and be happy. I've had such a good time there. So they're sending me back there. So just a lot of different places. St. Louis, they have an amazing bookstore there. So.
Well, awesome. Well, hopefully you swing by Denver one of these times and
Yeah,
get
let's
to
make that happen.
Yeah. Well, Annabelle, thank you so much for being on our show, and I cannot wait to read your newest book that comes out in June, and I hope that everybody else picks that up as soon as possible as well.
Thank you. This has been so much fun.
So fun. Thank you so much.
Please follow up about Jimmy.
Right? Yeah.
Jimmy.
Jimmy, who's like a he's a tortured rock star now.
Yeah.
Or maybe a slam poet.
Ooh.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I'm like, for whatever reason, I'm getting in my mind, probably because all I listen to right now is the Tortured Poets Department.
Of
But
course.
one of the lines is like, tell me something awful, like you're a poet stuck in the body of a finance guy. Like, Jimmy, is that you? Jimmy?
It's
Oh,
Jimmy.
dude.
I love it. Maybe that's exactly who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So funny.
So good.
Sorry.
Well, thank you so much, Annabelle. This has been so much fun.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thanks.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of the Lost Chill Podcast. Please help our podcast to reach more listeners by subscribing and leaving a review. We read every single one together and jump up and down, screaming with glee every single time. So you know we just truly appreciate it, and that is a true story, folks.
It's very true. If you can't get enough of the Lost Chill podcast, check out our website, thelostchill.com, for blog posts and more fun. Also, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for exclusive content and swag. We are constantly improving and growing our offerings, so be sure to check back often.
If it's additional reviews and cute puppies that you're after, follow us on Instagram at Katie's Lost Chill and at Kimmy's Lost Chill. Follow The Lost Chill as well to get all of the latest information on upcoming books to be featured, upcoming author chats, giveaways, and so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Bye.